Take a few deep breaths. Now you can feel your entire body. Now is the good time to practice loving kindness for ourselves. Please repeat these positive and loving thoughts in your mind. May I be May I be free from anger. May I be free from suffering. May I be free from jealousy. May I be free from illness. May I be well. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be well. May I be well. May I be well. as we experience loving friendliness, let us wait for ourselves to radiate the same loving thoughts towards others who are our friends. Mother, father, teachers, brothers, sisters, may my mothers be well. Be happy. Be peaceful. May my father, may my teachers, may my friends, may my brothers, may my sisters be well, be happy, be peaceful. Let us think about all who lived. May all beings be well. May all beings be happy. May all beings be peaceful. May all beings be free from anger. May all beings be free from suffering. May all beings be free from jealousy. May all beings be free from illness. May all beings be well. May all beings be well. May all beings be well. Okay, now we are doing silent meditation. Take a deep breath and follow your breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Mindfully think, breathe in, breathe out. Okay, please go to page 4. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato ධම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස්ස භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස බුද්ධං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි ධම්මං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි සංඝං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි ဒုတိယံපි බුද්ධං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි ဒုတိယံපි ධම්මං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි ဒုတိယံපි සංඝං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි තතියම්පි බුද්ධං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි තතියම්පි ධම්මං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි තතියම්පි සංඝං සරණං ගච්ඡාමි අනිච්චා පත සංඛාරා උපාද වය ධම්මිනෝ උපජ්ජිත්වා නිරුච්ඡන්ති තේසං උපසමෝසුකෝ සබ්බේ සත්තා අවේරා හොන්දු සබ්බේ සත්තා අභ්‍යාපජ්ජා හොන්තු සබ්බේ සත්තා අනිගා හොන්තු සබ්බේ සත්තා සුඛියත්තානං පරිහරන්තු මහෝපුබ්බංගමාදම්මා මනෝසෙට්ඨා මනෝමයා මනසාචේ පදුට්ඨේන භාසතිවා කරෝතිවා තතෝනං දුක්ඛමං ඒති ශක්ඛං වහතු පදම් මනෝපුබ්බංගමාදම්මා මනෝසෙට්ඨා මනෝමයා මනසාචේ පසන්නේන භාසතිවා කරෝතිවා තතුනං සුඛමං වේති ඡායාව අනපායිනි
generosity has been helped. Take care of generously, act generously. We believe generosity is the heart of our spiritual practice, and this practice allows us to become more open, accepting, and forgiving. We believe extending generosity to ourselves and others is a direct way of giving invitation, bringing joy, and nurturing the spiritual community for years to come.
May I be on at all times, both now and forever, a protector for those without protection, a guide for those who are lost their way, a ship for those with an ocean to cross, a sanctuary for those in danger, a lamp for those without light, a place of refuge for those who lack shelter, and a servant to all in need. By means of this meritorious deed, may I never join the unwise, only wise, until the time I attain the God.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Bhante.
Now, Thad will present his Dhamma talking. Welcome, Thad.
Thank you, Bhante. Bhante Dhamma Vihara. If you can't see the screen, just move your chair, move your body. I first met Bhante Dhamma Vihara, I think 6 years ago in Sri Lanka at the Sri Subhadarama Temple in Paradeniya, which is near Kandy, Sri Lanka. And he's even younger than he is now. So you did very well, Bhante, for your first try. So my talk today is two-part. First of all, we'll just go very quickly over the correct pronunciation of Pali. In our chanting book, it's new people, they usually don't know what to do. They're just sort of thrown into it. And if you've seen this before, I usually do this presentation every 6 months or so in order to remind people how to pronounce Pali. So it won't take long. If you've heard it before, please stay. Here you see the monks at the, I believe this is a New Year's blessing. A few years ago, and you can see some familiar faces there. And the monks there do this chanting in Pali of these Paritta suttas that I will go over later. And here they also doing a home blessing at, actually that's my house, they did a home blessing back in 2016. And you can again see some familiar faces. So there are two, the suttas are written down in Pali.
Sorry.
Written down in Pali, which is a language that the Buddha spoke, and it was the sort of the lingua franca of northern India at that time. And later they were transliterated into Pali, or sorry, into Sanskrit, which is a Warbler, a language that came probably after Pali. So there's words in both Pali and Sanskrit that sound the same, slightly different. So I will try to point this out as we come to them. So this is the pronunciation of vowels. It's been greatly simplified. So A is pronounced as A, as in another. E is pronounced as e, as an end, e. By the way, these vowels are pronounced the same way they are in Italian, if you happen to know Italian. So someone had the great idea of using the vowel pronunciations in Italian, also in Pali. So E is pronounced as an e, as an end. I is pronounced as a I, not as an I, but as an E, a long E, as in ski or brie, so I is pronounced as an E. Oops. O is pronounced as an O, as an own, O. U is pronounced as in prudent or oo, prudent, oo. wise pronounces yet. So sort of a semi-vowel, actually. And now the pronunciation of the consonants. This is also greatly simplified. Ooh, very touchy here. So this is a very quick side note on the letter H. H is classified as a voiceless pharyngeal fricative, which is, when I read that, I went, what? So there's a, it's pronounced as a ha. So it's not your, it's, your throat is being fricatated, if that's a word. But in Pali, it's always pronounced. It's not skipped over. And often in English, H's are skipped over, but not in Pali. It's always pronounced. So K is pronounced as in cat or keen. It's pretty straightforward. But a KH is pronounced. Both letters are pronounced as in Black Heath. So K. G as in gate. A G is never a soft G, as in giants. It's always a hard G, a G sound. C, for whatever reason, they decided to make C be pronounced as a CH. So C as in church or change. So you have to be careful when you're reading the Pali to remember that the C is pronounced as a ch. And then CH is in witch hazel, so a ch, ch. And then N as a neighbor or nice, that's straightforward. And then an N with a tilde over it is pronounced as in canyon or senior. So there's a Y, whatever vowel first comes after, it's pronounced with an I. So canyon or senior. T is as in ten or toad. TH is tricky. TH as in anthill or sujatha, never as in they. As far as I know, there's no they or TH sound in Pali. It's so be careful when you see that. Make sure you pronounce it th as in anthill or sujata. D as in dig or die. And then DH as in madhouse or dh. Huh. P as in pat or pinch. And then PH as in top hat, but never as in photo. So in English, PH is often pronounced as an F, but never in Pali, so it's P. So B as in back or bite. BH as in abhorrence or bh, bh. Abhorrence. V is a sound, is a tricky one. Somewhere between V as in vain and W as in wane. So when I ask the monks, when I say, does this sound right? When I say V, they say, yeah, that sounds good. And then when I say it as a W, they say, yeah, that sounds good. So I think they have a little, I think in their language they don't have a differentiation between V and W. So I just chicken out and just say all the V's as W's. And then H as in hot or have should always be pronounced. So do try to pronounce all H's in Dhamma, Buddha, Sangha. And that's always difficult because, as I said before, in English we usually just skip over H's when they're next to a consonant. So Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. Try to pronounce both letters of a double consonant. That's also very English. In English, we don't do that, or usually don't do that. So it's Buddha, or Sabba, or Satta. So there's a little, tiny little space between the D's and the B's here and the T's. You can insert a little N sound if you think about it, but it's difficult. So don't freak out if you can't do it. Sometimes it's almost impossible. For example, as in Dhamma, Dhamma, difficult. But if you listen closely to the monks, you'll hear that little space between two consonants. By the way, the font that was used in printing the temple's chanting book does not have characters that use diacritical marks. A diacritical mark refers to any shape, mark, shape, stroke, or sign attached to a letter for a particular reason. For example, a diaresis, as a naive, or a tilde, as in canon. Those are diacritical marks. If you are learning to chant a sutta or gatha, you should learn the correct pronunciation of letters that use diacritical marks. And we're not going to practice. I'm going to do something else. I want to show you a book. Hold on one second if I can reach it. Ooh. This is a very good book to get. It's by Bhante Gunaratana, otherwise known as Bhante G. It's called Buddhist Suttas for Recitation. It has very many suttas in it with all the diacritical marks. Unfortunately, it's sold out on Amazon, but you can still get it from bookstores that are aligned with Amazon, but they charge a really high price. So I'm hoping that there will be a second reprinting of this book. And if you do see it at the regular price, it's still a little expensive, I think $35, but it's a very useful book to own. You can see it later if you want to. Just come up to me. So now, sorry, I don't have a clock. So I want to read the three suttas that are included in the Paritta. So the Paritta chanting is what the monks will chant, as you saw during a home blessing, or it's maybe during the New Year's blessing and things like that. So if you all open your book, your chanting book, to page 16, we'll go to the first one. So I find the background stories to these chants. And these suttas are very interesting. So the first one is a Karaniya Metta Sutta, also known as the Loving Kindness Sutta. So the background story for this sutta is that a group of monks were frightened by the spirits in the forest where the Buddha had sent them to meditate. So the spirits were making horrible sounds in the forest, trying to drive the monks out because they didn't like the monks coming to their little forest. When the monks sought the Buddha's advice in dealing with the situation, the Buddha taught the monks the Metta Sutta, which we'll read here, or I will read, as an antidote to overcome their fears. They went back to the forest, and the monks recited the sutta and radiated loving kindness. So the goodwill placated the spirits and caused them to be at ease and meditate along with the monks. So I'll just read it quickly here. In English, one skilled in good wishing to attain that state of peace should act thus. One should be able, straight, upright, obedient, gentle, and humble. One should be content, easy to support, with few duties, living lightly, controlled in senses, discreet, not impudent, unattached to families. Should not be arguing with your family or other families, like families sometimes do. One should not do any slight wrong which the wise might censure. May all beings be happy and secure. May all beings have happy minds. Whatever living beings there may be, without exception, weak or strong, long or large, medium, short, subtle or gross, visible or invisible, living near or far, born or coming to birth, may all beings have happy minds. Let no one deceive another, nor despise anyone anywhere. Neither from anger nor ill will should anyone wish harm to another. As a mother would risk her own life to protect her own child, even so towards all living beings one should cultivate a boundless heart. One should cultivate all for all the world a heart of boundless loving friendliness, above us, below us, and all around, unobstructed without hatred or resentment. Whether you are standing, walking, or sitting, lying down, or whenever awake, one should develop this mindfulness. This is called divinely dwelling here. Not falling into erroneous views, but virtuous and endowed with vision, removing desire for sensual pleasures, One comes never again to birth in the womb. So that last line is talking about the Buddhist belief that our consciousness is reborn again. That's what it means not to be reborn in a womb, because when we are enlightened, then we are free from being reborn again in samsara. The next one is on page, where'd it go? Page 22. And that is the Ratana Sutta, which is my favorite sutta. I think it's a very beautiful, even in English, in Pali. If you've ever heard it chanted by the monks, it's really beautiful. And it's the Ratana Sutta, which is a discourse on the jewels. So it begins, whatever beings are here assembled, whether terrestrial or celestial, in other words, on earth or in the heavenly realms, may every being be happy and joyful. Also listen attentively to my words. Listen here, all beings. Show your loving kindness to those humans who, day and night, bring offerings to you. Therefore guard them diligently. Whatever treasures there may be, either here or in the world beyond, or whatever precious jewels there are in the heavens, yet none is comparable to the enlightened one. In the Buddha is this precious jewel found. On account of this truth, may there be well-being. The tranquil sage of the Shakyas, so the Shakyas are the clan from which the Buddha came, so the sage of the Shakyas is the Buddha. The tranquil sage of the Shakyas, realizing cessation, freedom from passion, deathlessness and excellence. There is nothing comparable to this Dhamma. In the Dhamma is this precious jewel found. On account of this truth, may there be well-being. That pure concentration of the Supreme Buddha praised is described as concentration without interruption. There is nothing like that concentration. In the Dhamma is this precious jewel found. On account of this truth, may there be well-being. Those eight individuals constituting four pairs are praised by those at peace. So the eight individuals are those, there's four groups. The first group is people who have started studying the Dhamma, which we all have done. They are called stream enterers. The second group is people who have mastered some of the Dhamma, and they will only be reborn seven times before they reach enlightenment. And the third group is the ones who are going to be reborn only once. And the last one is the people who have reached enlightenment. They become arhats. And they're called pairs because they're separated by sex or gender between male and female. So getting back to the sutta, those eight individuals constituting four pairs are praised by those at peace. They, worthy of offerings, are the disciples of the Enlightened One. Gifts given to them yield abundant fruit. In the Sangha is this precious jewel found. On account of this truth, may there be well-being. With a steadfast mind, applying themselves thoroughly to the dispensation of Gotama, free of passion, they have attained to that which should be attained. So the dispensation of the Gotama. Gotama is another name for the family of the Buddha. And the dispensation, you will often see the Pali words, dasasana. But that just means a dispensation of the Buddha, free of passion. They have attained to that which should be attained. And plunging into deathlessness, they enjoy the peace or nirvana in absolute freedom. In the Sangha is this precious jewel found. On account of this truth, may there be well-being. Just a firm post sunk in the earth cannot be shaken by the four winds. I say that a righteous person who thoroughly perceives the noble truths is similar to that. In the Sangha is this precious jewel found. On account of this truth, may there be well-being. Those who clearly understand the noble truths, well taught by him who has profound wisdom, do not undergo an eighth birth, no matter how exceedingly heedless they may be. In the Sangha is this precious jewel found. On account of this truth, may there be well-being. Together with this attainment of insight, three qualities have been abandoned by him, namely, wrong belief in selfhood, doubt and dependence on rites and ceremonies. So that refers, dependence on rites and ceremonies refers to some, what would you call, superstitious things that people might do to try to get luck for themselves, like a knock on wood. we can do that, but don't depend on it. So that's what they're talking about when they say dependence on rites and ceremonies. He is absolutely freed from the four states of misery and is incapable of committing the six major wrongdoings. In the Sangha is this precious jewel found. On account of this truth, may there be well-being. He is incapable of hiding whatever evil he does, whether by deed, word, or thought. For it has been said that such an act is impossible for one who has seen the path. In the Sangha is this precious jewel found. On account of this truth, may there be well-being. Just as a forest crown in full blossom in the first month of the summer season, so has a sublime doctrine that leads to nibbana been taught for the highest good of beings. In the Buddha is this precious jewel found. On account of this truth, may there be well-being. The peerless, excellent one, the knower, the giver, the bringer of the excellent, has expounded the sublime doctrine. In the Buddha is this precious jewel found. On account of this truth, may there be well-being. Their past is extinct, a new becoming there is not. Their minds are not attached to a future birth. Their desires do not grow. Those wise ones with their seeds of becoming destroyed go out, even as this lamp does. So here they're talking about someone who has attained nirvana. In the Sangha is this precious jewel found. On account of this truth, may there be well-being. So the last three stanzas are Sakka's exaltation. Sakka is the king of the gods in the heavenly realms. And he was listening when the Buddha gave this teaching. So he exclaimed, "We beings that are here assembled, whether terrestrial or celestial, salute the accomplished Buddha, who is honored by gods and men. May there be well-being. We beings that are here assembled, whether celestial or celestial, salute the enlightened Dhamma, which is honored by gods and men. May there be well-being. We beings that are here assembled, whether terrestrial or celestial, salute the noble Sangha, who are honored by gods and men. May there be well-being." So that's the rather long but beautiful Ratana Sutta, and as I said, that's my favorite one. So there's one more, which is unfortunately not in our chanting book, but it's not too long, and I will read it here. So the backstory, it's called the Mahamangala Sutta, which means the Great Blessings Sutta, also means the Great Protections. So the backstory for this one is some people on the earth had started debating, this is back in the time of the Buddha, some people on earth started debating what actions they should take in order to bless and protect themselves. Soon after, the heavenly devas, or the gods, took up the same debate, because they heard the humans debating about it. So the devas deputized one of their number to go directly to the Buddha and ask him the question. So here's the sutta, the Mangala Sutta. "Thus have I heard, on one occasion the Blessed One was dwelling at dwelling at Anadapindaka's monastery in Jetta's grove near Sawati. When the night was far advanced, a certain deities, whose surpassing radiance illuminated the whole of the grove, approached the Blessed One, respectfully saluted him, and stood beside him." So the Buddha would, the monks, the 500 monks who were with the Buddha would often stay at different places. In this instance, they're staying at a grove, Jetta's grove, with a lot of trees. So the Buddha would stay up practically all night meditating. So the gods sent this young god, goddess, I guess we'd call her, who glowed in the dark. And it's a very nice picture if you think about it. And she walked through the grove and spread her light everywhere. And she came up to the Buddha. She was the one who had been deputized. So back to the sutta. "Standing there, she addressed the Blessed One in verse. Many deities and human beings desire the blessings of well-being, so they wonder what actions they should take. Please tell me, what are the best actions to take to ensure the blessings of protection? The Buddha replied, not to associate with the foolish, but to associate with the wise and to honor those worthy of honor. These are the best actions. To live in an agreeable place, to have performed meritorious deeds in the past, and to set one's life in the right direction. These are the best actions. Diligent study, skill in one's profession, to be well established and disciplined, and to use only pleasant speech. These are the best actions. To support one's father and mother, to cherish one's family, and to engage in a peaceful occupation. These are the best actions. Generosity, righteous conduct, rendering assistance to relatives, and the performance of blameless deeds. These are the best actions. To cease and abstain from evil, to abstain from intoxicating drinks and drugs, and diligence in performing righteous acts. These are the best actions. To be respectful, humble, contented, and grateful, and on due occasions to listen to the Dhamma, the teachings of the Buddha and the wise ones. These are the best actions. To be patient and compliant, to associate with the holy nuns and the monks, and to discuss the Dharma in due occasions. These are the best actions. Self-control, a holy and chaste life, knowledge of the Four Noble Truths, and the realization of Nirvana. These are the best actions. A mind unruffled by the vagaries, another tongue twister, a mind unruffled by the vagaries of fortune, a mind freed from sorrow, a mind cleansed of the defilements, a mind liberated from fear. These are the best actions. Those who have fulfilled these actions are victorious everywhere and attain happiness everywhere. To them, these are the highest blessings. So that was the Maha Mangala Sutta. So those are the three suttas that are chanted by the monks during Paritta chanting. And I asked Bhante Sujata, I said, can we chant along with the monks if we know the words? And he said, sure. So if you ever feel like it, feel free to do so. And that's my talk for today. Oh, by the way, afterward, if you want a cheat sheet, I printed out some of the slides. So see me afterwards by the door and you can get one.